This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Jackie Campbell. Jackie is in Washington, D.C., and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview by telephone. Today's date is January 21st, 2009. It is now 9:27 in the morning. And Jackie, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me.
Well, thank you for doing the interview. I really appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk.
That's excellent. So tell me about your quilt, Whatever You Want to Be.
Well, it kind of came out of something that happened in my house, and I know it happened in a lot of houses across the country. We were waiting for the Obamas to come out on election night after they had called the election, and we were just sitting there waiting and being giddy and laughing and crying, and the children were looking at us like, why are you crying? We're happy, right? And my husband put his arms around them both, and he held them really tight to him, and he said, you know, we've always told you you can be whatever you want to be, but now it's true. And I'm not sure they really got it then, but one day when they have their own children, we hope that they will understand what that meant for us as African Americans to see Barack Obama win this election, because much as we wanted him to win, we just didn't think it was going to happen. So that's what, that's kind of where that came from with the quilt. And, you know, I had to stew that around in my head for a long time and cut up a whole lot of fabric that was wrong. And, you know, it finally evolved into this blue and orange piece of a man holding his baby. And, you know, it really challenged me because I knew people were going to see it. This wasn't going to be something for people who loved me. And I wanted it to be the very best thing that I could do, not just for the exhibit, but because it meant so much to me, the election and what that means.
Tell me about the creative process that you used to make this.
Well, you know, it's all really kind of haphazard, really, is probably the right word. You know, I'm smart when I'm in the shower. I'm not generally that smart when I'm not in the shower. So things come to me when I'm in there. And then later in the day, I'll go pull out the fabrics I had thought about using and throw them on a board and frown at them and wait and see if they want to play with each other. Sometimes it means I have to go away and come back. And usually the piece that doesn't want to play will say so when I come back. It'll say, hey, you know what? Wrong. And so I'll put it back and pull out something else. There's a lot of trial and error. The piece doesn't look anything like what I thought it was going to look like in the beginning. I knew that I wanted a man and a child, or possibly an old lady and a child, or maybe several children watching the TV, or maybe newspapers with vintage headlines from, you know, like an old runaway slave ad and, you know, headlines from the Civil Rights Movement and maybe a little bit of the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, maybe all that would be in the background. And so I tried out a whole bunch of stuff and ultimately rejected everything else because I couldn't make it say what I wanted it to say. I felt like the words were detracting from the figures, and it just, it became a very simple piece, just the man and his baby. As far as the colors, I hadn't intended those at all, but as I was assembling the man's shirt, I think it was, and putting something next to it to be the neck, I thought, hey, maybe this is the way to go. And I had all kinds of colors out, so I threw all of that on the floor and started pulling out the oranges and the yellows and the blues and trying to construct it. The frustrating thing is that, you know, you're working on it kind of flat, and once I put it up and stepped away from it, there were parts of it that I had loved when I was looking at it from 2 feet away. And once I got 8 feet back, it's like, oh, no, this is not working. So there were numerous reworkings in the piece, scraps of fabric that shifted and I didn't like them, or, oh, wait, his neck really isn't that, it doesn't look quite right, or, well, gee, the baby looks like an old man. So there was a lot of changing things. My son would look at it and say, and I'd say, what do you think? And he would usually, he or my daughter would notice the same thing. So I have my own built-in critics here, which is kind of nice. One of the interesting things that kind of happened with it was my daughter looked at it one day and she said, Mommy, she's eight. She said, Mommy, is that supposed to be Papa? Who would be my father, her grandfather. And he died in November of 2007. He had a very rare form of pancreatic cancer, and it killed him. So I looked at it again. I said, well, it's not supposed to be Papa. And I said, but I guess it does kind of look like him. So I guess that's kind of in my subconscious, with my father. And when my mother came for the inauguration, she looked at it. I had told her the story, and she said, well, Jacqueline, it kind of does look like it. And I said, okay, well, so be it. So now my father's, he's kind of part of the quilt, which is nice, since he wasn't here to see any of what happened. And then the quilting, deciding how to quilt it was yet another challenge. I tried out things in my head and ultimately went with simple. I just didn't want to clutter it up. I didn't want it to be overworked. I didn't want it to be complex. It's a simple sentiment. It's a simple quote.
Is this typical of your style? If someone looked at this quilt, would they think that you made it?
Yes. I don't do a lot of embellishing. I'm not one of these people who goes to, using, plastic forks and feathers and all of that stuff, which is cool, when you see it, and you think, and it's like, oh, wow, I never would have thought to do that. But for me, I'm a pretty simple girl.
Now, the quilt is 20 inches by 20 inches. Is that a typical size for you?
It is right now for, kind of art pieces. I do larger, lap quilts for family members and whatnot. But, yeah, and the size is really kind of dictated by how much space I have in my little studio. There's a dollhouse in there that I'm supposed to be working on for my daughter, and the room is small, so the table is small. So this is how much space I have to lay stuff out, unless I'm going to lay it out on the floor and then transport it. And with something like this, with so many little tiny pieces, the hair on both of them, there's little tiny circles that I cut out of the fabric. I don't want to move that, because then things start to shift, and that's frustrating. That's what I have been working with. I have done one rather large wall hanging for my daughter's school. There is an antique aquarium in one of the classrooms. The school was built in 1932, and the aquarium was part of this whole model kindergarten classroom. And it fell into disrepair, and ultimately the great-great-granddaughter of the woman for whom the school was named heard about it and donated some money to have the thing renovated. It was going to cost an enormous sum. And so the school knows that I do this, so they asked if I would do a quilt to hang in the school to commemorate the restoration of this aquarium. It's probably 3 feet by 4 feet, and that was just a lot of work. In such a small space. So for me right now, until I get that dollhouse out, got to work smaller. It's just too nerve-wracking to try and lay out something that big in the space that I have.
Well, describe it. Describe your studio.
It is the smallest room in our house. We live in a Washington, D.C. row house, and the room is probably 7 by 9, maybe, with 2 teeny tiny closets that are so shallow that when I went to the Container Store to get something to go in them so that I could have some storage, they didn't believe those were their correct measurements until I explained how old the house was. So I have a 5-foot-long table on which the sewing machine and my laptop live, and then backing up to that, because it sticks out into the middle of the floor. That's the other thing. I've got a door that leads in from the hallway and a door that leads to my son's room. So right there, you lose 3 feet of space. Then you got those 2 closets, and there's a radiator and a window. It's really tiny. So all the fabric is stored in drawers that are backing up to the table where the machine is. And that's approximately the same height as the table. And that's also where the dollhouse lives. And there are 2 chairs in there. There's a, I'd love to call it a design wall, but it's more like a design piece of felt that's covered.